Abbott is scaling up access to new COVID-19 tests to help us get back to our lives with confidence. Another life-changing technology from Abbott. So you don't wait for life, you live it. Learn more at Abbott.com. Abbott, life to the fullest.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, October 2nd. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. Inflation hasn't been a big concern for most investors in a long time, but it might be wise for anyone with an investment portfolio to start thinking about it now.
The Fed has basically come out and said that they will tolerate higher inflation. This is something that they typically don't do. They said that they will let inflation run hot for a while before tightening up. If you let something run hot, sometimes it turns into a blaze and burns you. And inflation is notoriously difficult to control once it gets going.
Our Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob will be here in a moment. He'll talk about the effect of inflation on various types of investments and where investors might think about parking their money as a hedge against it. That's after the break.
Avalara has been pioneering sales tax automation with cloud-based solutions since 2004. That's why businesses of all sizes turn to Avalara for real-time rate calculation, automatic return filing, and certificate management. Avalara automatically integrates with more than 700 ERP and e-commerce systems, likely what you use today. Find out how your business can save time and reduce risk at avalara.com/WSJ. That's AVALARA.com/WSJ. Avalara, tax compliance done right.
Most investors have spent more than a little time lately worrying about volatility during the pandemic and whether their taxes might go up depending on who wins next month's presidential election. But one thing that probably hasn't been on most investors' radar is inflation. Some observers think that's a mistake. Joining us with some insights as to why inflation should be more on people's minds is our Heard on the Street editor, Spencer Jacob. Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Spencer, most people on Wall Street and Main Street don't express any concerns about rising inflation. It's been low for years, and the Federal Reserve isn't planning any interest rate hikes for the foreseeable future. But you write that some smart investors remain wary. Why is that?
They do, and the main reason that they do is that we have seen unprecedented stimulus from the federal government and from the Fed in terms of a record budget deficit and rates being pushed very low and record levels of bond buying. Now, kind of Finance 101 or Economics 101 tells you that those things, combined with trade frictions, which we've also seen lately, all contribute to higher prices. And the fact that we have not seen them and haven't seen them since the financial crisis, and back then, in the years after the crisis, many people got egg on their faces predicting that we would have higher inflation, doesn't mean that we won't in the future. And you do have some smart people out there saying that we had better watch out. The ingredients are all there, and the ingredients are unpredictable. And the main reason right now, aside from all that stimulus to be concerned, is that the Fed has basically come out and said that they will tolerate higher inflation. This is something that they typically don't do. They said that they will let inflation run hot for a while before tightening up. If you let something run hot, sometimes it turns into a blaze and burns you. And inflation is notoriously difficult to control once it gets going.
Okay, so let's talk about what kind of impact inflation can have on a typical investment portfolio. Let's start with bonds. What could investors expect there if inflation starts to go up?
Well, most investors have at least part of their allocation to bonds, whether it's longer-term or shorter-term bonds, corporate bonds, or treasuries. You know, a typical conservative portfolio has some money in that. But right now, the 10-year treasury note is already an invitation to lose money. You're getting 0.6%, roughly. The rate of inflation is about a percentage point higher than that. So even before you pay taxes, even before anything, you're losing money on those ultra-safe investments. If you were to have, from that low starting point, a substantial uptick in inflation, say between 3 and 5%, I'm not talking about hyperinflation, then any bond fund that you own would immediately lose value, lose a substantial part of its value. Even if you have TIPS, which are Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, that's something we didn't have in the 70s. to protect our portfolios.
I assume we're talking about domestic bonds. What about overseas bond investments?
That might be one of the few places to hide. I mean, basically, if this were to be a U.S. phenomenon, if because of all the stimulus here, we were to have high U.S. dollar inflation, then you would probably see some weakening in the dollar if the Federal Reserve let things run hot, if they kind of sat back for a while. And so some people think that the Chinese yuan would appreciate relative to the dollar, which would be interesting because you also can get some yield in Chinese government debt that you don't get in the U.S. It's about 2.4 percentage points higher in terms of yield. So you're already getting some income from them that you don't get here anymore. Plus, you would make some money on the currency in theory if the Fed were to sort of sit back and let things run hot.
Okay, what about stocks? They're a big part of most portfolios.
Yeah, I mean, stocks are a big part of most portfolios. The conventional wisdom is that stocks would do horribly if you were to have an uptick in inflation. People think back to the 1970s when stocks really did badly. There was a famous 1979 Business Week cover saying the death of equities, why inflation is, you know, killing stocks. And they did do badly, and they do somewhat badly during periods of high inflation, but not all of them. You have to take a more nuanced look, which is what we've done as a team at Herd on the Street. Looking at the S&P 500 overall, or its predecessors, when you've had low inflation between 0% and 1.5%, then the real return, so the inflation-adjusted return of stocks, has been really good, has been 10.6% a year. If you look at periods when it's been between 2 and 2.5%, let's say, where you were just a few years ago, the return goes down to 6.5%. If you look at when inflation is higher than 6%, the real return has just been 1.2%, which is a very low return for stocks. But certain stocks actually can do pretty well. Some stocks actually will make you money in real terms during periods of inflation, and there are reasons for that. And some are terrible to own.
But wouldn't higher prices be a welcome development for some public companies since it increases their revenue?
Yeah, and some companies, there are some companies that have a lot more control over the prices that they can charge and some that don't. There are some companies that are more indebted. And basically, if you're a debtor, if you have an extremely high mortgage, or if you're a company with lots of borrowings, you might welcome inflation because if you've been profligate or if you've borrowed a lot of money, then the real value of the money that you have borrowed is going down when there's inflation. And if you can increase your prices, you know, with along with general price increases, then you can keep pace with inflation. And in some cases, you can actually do pretty decently. So it depends. There are some companies that aren't very flexible and tend to suffer when inflation picks up.
What about certain companies, say, that dominate their markets, like Walmart? Wouldn't a company like Walmart benefit even if it's an inflationary environment?
Well, Walmart is a good example of a company that you might want to own if you expect a big uptick in inflation. Walmart, Costco, the dollar store retailers, even supermarket chains like Kroger and Albertsons, because they sell staples. And so, you know, even though people might be feeling somewhat poor, they still will go out and buy staples. They'll still fix their cars. So something like AutoZone can also do quite well. They can pass on those price increases. Those companies can do quite well. Retailers, not all retailers, maybe not apparel retailers and things like that, but let's say like more discount retailers and people who sell staples could have a pretty good experience in those stocks, could do well, and they're not terribly expensive today either.
Okay, let's run through some other sectors, Spencer. Technology and healthcare stocks, they've done well recently. What if inflation heated up there?
Those might not do that well. One reason is that their valuations are already quite high. You know, healthcare is one area where we actually already have had inflation. Those companies, drug companies and insurers, have been able to push through price increases that have been well above the pace of inflation for decades now. But they're also controlled by the government to some extent. They don't allow you to charge more. Insurance regulators or people who control drug approvals or put pressure on drug companies to lower prices, then they won't. And if you were to have a general period of higher prices, then that is one of the things that they more easily could and probably would control. And so that would be bad for those companies. And then tech companies are a bit different. Tech companies, the reason that they might do badly is that, you know, eventually you would have an uptick in long-term rates. And those companies, tend to be the most sensitive of the entire market to higher long-term rates. When you have expectations of rising rates, when you've had it over the past several years, those companies have sold off the most sharply because their eventual payoff in terms of cash flows are the most distant. You have a lot of tech companies that barely make money, don't make money, yet have very high multiples. And so those might take a tumble. But one sector that's traditionally a safe haven and would be today, maybe even more so today, would be natural resources, where you have things that are coming out of the ground, like lumber and metals and oil and gas, where inflation tends to have a very good impact on them. Those stocks tend to outperform the market really handsomely almost always during periods of high inflation.
How about some other sectors such as real estate or financials?
So financials are an interesting case because, if you're an individual and you have a lot of money borrowed, you might be happy about inflation. If you've lent a lot of money, if you have a lot of assets, then you're not happy about it. And banks are both. Banks both borrow and lend. But basically, they have a base of equity to support that. And that equity isn't something like, office buildings or hard assets. It's, it's cash, it's financial equity. And so they actually would suffer. They would suffer because rates rise and that tends to hurt them in the short run. You'd have less mortgage refinancing and whatnot. But generally, the price to book value has tended to be lowest during periods of high inflation and highest during periods of low inflation. So that's an unequivocal loser. Now, real estate is a mixed bag because, you traditionally want to own bricks and mortar if you're really afraid of inflation, because that at least holds its value. But not really, because right now you have a lot of real estate investment trusts that have long-term leases. They might be leases of 5-10 years signed with companies. And as long as those leases are valid, they can't raise those prices. So they're not one of those nimble companies that can go and pass through those price increases.
What about gold and other commodities? How do they hold up during times of high inflation?
Gold is the classic thing that people want to own when they're afraid of high inflation. And you have these pictures of people with wheelbarrows of useless cash in Europe in the 1920s and 1930s. And, gold was the one thing that held its value. Gold traditionally was the backing for money. That might not be the best bet right now. And if you look at gold over its entire history, basically, its inflation-adjusted return is 0%, which means that if you have a real period of runaway prices, then gold, will hold its value better than paper money, for sure. Money that you have sitting in the bank or under your mattress. But gold doesn't pay a dividend. Gold doesn't do anything, earn anything. It's not especially useful for a lot of stuff these days. So it's something that, you can store in your home or in a safe or a safe deposit box if you're very concerned about a kind of a general breakdown of society and the worthlessness of money. But, as we've discussed, there are a lot of things, if you're not, worried about a complete societal breakdown, that do better than gold, that actually earn you a return during periods of high inflation. And if you're really concerned about society breaking down, then gold might not be the best thing to own anyway. You might want, kind of canned food and ammo and stuff like that. And so gold is, gold, I would say, has a dubious record that way.
Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob. Thanks a lot, Spencer.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal.